podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider. And you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996, the godfathers of podcasting themselves, Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell.
Oh, hello, hello. It is Thursday, December 14th. This is the 161st installment of this stupid show. And thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us. Like the intro said, I'm Donnie, and that man next to me is my longtime partner. We go together like marshmallows and hot chocolate, like peaches and cream, like Netflix and chill. That's Chris Tidwell, Notorious T.I.D.
Sometimes that song makes my ears itch. I don't know why. Just does. So wild.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we haven't talked about this yet, you and I. However,
yeah,
former member of this show and always a friend of the show and our Black friend, our bro Danny O, that's his music that always plays us in each and every week. Yes. He has a new album coming out in the new year.
That had to be it.
What's that?
That had to be it. It was making my ears itch because he's got a new album coming out. It was letting me know that. Yeah.
He literally said to me, hey, I don't know if you and Tid would mind, but if you want to switch up the theme song, I've got a bunch of new tracks. And I'm like, are they good? He's like, oh man, fire. And I'm like, okay, send me your shit. Maybe send we'll pick a new theme.
Send me the ones that you didn't want to use.
All the reject beats. And then we'll go from there.
Tremendous. Tremendous. All the beat sides.
Been a good week, dude.
Yes, it's been a good week because I'm finally done for the year.
Done now.
Finished. My adulting, other than like, you know, celebratory stuff, is completely finished. I have no contractual obligations, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? But
have you finished your Christmas shopping?
What's that?
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. No. We're going to talk later, though. We are going to talk later about the best and worst Christmas presents you ever received or ever gave.
Did you finish yours?
Christmas is just around the corner.
Did you finish yours?
Oh, fuck no, dude.
Oh, so how's the view up there from the cross, holy guy?
Yeah, no, I never said I did. I was asking if you did so I could aspire to be more like you.
Don't try fucking putting the heat off on me. You're just
a guy.
Barely. Listen.
Most years, Christmas shopping starts on December 24th.
Okay.
So I'm ahead of the game right now because I've already got a few presents.
Even in this world where you can just, when you're sitting on your phone taking a dump anyways, just go on Amazon and like order the stuff?
I mean, I've done that. Actually, I got a funny story to tell you about an in-person retail purchase that I made this week, but we'll talk about that later. Absolutely. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, she's waiting backstage, and it is time for the big hello.
It's time!
And this week's guest, she's a friend of the show, and she's a podcaster, a brand ambassador. She was a talented amateur wrestler at one point, but the reason she's here is because she's one of the absolute best female boxers on the planet. This past weekend, she went and did her thing again, and she's now a three-time Canadian women's champion. She's now going to prep to finally qualify. I feel like I've been saying this forever, but it's finally going to happen where she will qualify for the 2024 Olympics in France. I've said it before. I will say it again. She will be there. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and listen while I start to flow. I'll tell you about this woman I know. We've watched her career and seen her grow, and now she's on top, never below. She hits so fast, you make it look so slow. She's an 8K movie and you're a tableau. She's a hot summer day, you're stuck in the snow. She could lead this country, watch your back, Trudeau. And when she gets to France, we'll all yell bravo. Give it up for the lovely and talented Scarlett Delgado.
Oh my God, you never fail with those intros. It's so good.
He literally spends so much time rehearsing them. That's why his Christmas shopping isn't done, Scarlett.
That's it. Time to get that flow going. Oh my God, that was great. Even the last one, the first time I was on the show, was absolutely awesome.
Well, I had to do it a little different this time, you know?
Yeah, but that was on point.
Yeah, he found Lachi, my friend. You're always too kind.
You might be hearing from my coach later. He might want that. He might want to use that.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Donnie Scarlett branding team has been hard at work today, right? I already put together some new branding for you and some logo treatments. Like, we're just clicking. Incredible. We're just clicking.
Like you said, marshmallows and what you said?
what do marshmallows go with? Yeah.
Hot chocolate.
What else do you put marshmallows in, actually? Graham do you put crackers. Marshmallows in anything?
Graham crackers.
Pizza. Marshmallows and pizza.
Yams.
Okay. Yams. Let's go back to what we were going to talk about.
Yeah, right?
You know what? My first trip to Atlanta, I was at a family wedding, and they said to me, this is my introduction to Georgian cuisine. They're like, would y'all like some salad? And I was like, oh, salad. Yeah, I'd love some salad. We got strawberry pretzel, marshmallow salad. The fuck is that?
What is that? I've never heard of that in my life.
Strawberries, crushed up pretzels, marshmallow fluff. Mm-hmm. And it's like layered, like a taco salad. It's just layered, like a 7-layer dip.
Whoa.
Okay. And then they just fucking scoop it up and throw it on the plate like a whole bunch of slop, and they eat that shit. And I'm like, how dare you call this salad?
That's crazy.
But they also have like
heard that
they have an ambrosia salad too, right?
Right.
Which is like fruit cocktail and Cool Whip. That's a dessert. Cool Whip. You put that in a little tiny cup and you serve that as a dessert. You know what I mean? You don't eat a picnic plate full of it.
Ooh, I don't know. Some of these things that I'm hearing, but this is all in the States, right?
I mean, well, yeah, no, they don't allow food. Yeah, they don't allow that kind of food here.
It's not illegal.
You don't eat food, but you don't even eat food lately, right? Like, because you have obviously been training, you've been fighting and stuff like that. What do you even enjoy for food? Because it's not like fluff or nutter salad with strawberries, apparently. Or
last time she was on, she said just like basically chicken breast with no seasoning and fucking steamed vegetables.
Hold on a second. Just narking on food, real food. I eat real food.
Okay.
Like I have chicken and I do season it. I'm not afraid of salt. I have my chicken. I have my beef. I have my turkey. I like organ meat too. I do. I love organ meat. It's like a superfood. Like I love it. Ones? Like liver. I like heart. Yeah. I like kidneys. Yeah. I like all that stuff. I'll eat it. Cooked vegetables like asparagus, or like I like to grill peppers, mushrooms. I like it.
Okay, that stuff's fine, but not eggplant. The organ meat.
Oh, I love organ meat. It's so good. Every time I eat it, I feel like I'm having like power. I'm like, look at that.
That's a foodie witchcraft shit though, girl.
I get called a bruja all the time.
Oh, okay. All right.
She goes walking around the NICU at the hospital looking for placentas that have just fallen out.
Like blood off my mouth.
Oh my God.
Come to find out,
Scarlett Delgado, the fucking vampire.
Yeah, she's actually 294, ladies and gentlemen. She's been living on embryos and disguising herself as a Canadian amateur boxer trying to get into the fucking Olympics.
This is her 44th time qualifying for the Olympics. She just keeps changing her name. She's a fucking demon, y'all.
Wow.
Amazing. So listen, congratulations. I was following on social media. I'm cheersing you right now. Okay. This is me cheersing you and saying congratulations for going. Yeah. You can use your Starbucks. That'll be acceptable. And we will say congratulations. You went and did your fucking thing. You fucked shit up.
Thank you.
Talk to me about the intricacies of this past weekend. There was what? How many fights? Was it two or three?
Three.
In any of those fights, because I didn't get to see the fights. I saw the results that you posted online and that your coach was posting and all of that, but I didn't get to see the entire fights. So when you're in there, in those three fights, was there any moment at any time where you thought, oh shit, I might not have this one. I gotta step on the gas. Or did you feel in control in all three fights?
Yeah, all three rounds per fight. So nine rounds, I felt in control. I've been doing this for 12 years, and there's just when you get to a certain level, you trust the training that you're doing and you trust the preparation you're doing. It's always when you get, like I said, when you get to a certain level, it's more your mindset and it's more about choosing the right strategy in the right moment. I have faith in what my body can do. I'm not worried if I'm stronger. I'm not worried if I'm faster. I'm not worried if I don't have enough experience or whatnot. I know that I can get the job done. It's just, how am I going to get it done? So it's adjusting as the rounds go on based on what my opponent is giving me in that moment. Because obviously the only thing that I can't control is what she's doing, what she's deciding to do. But I control how I respond to it. So that's where the strategy comes in.
So that brings up an interesting question, because a pro fighter, whether it's a boxer or an MMA fighter, a big part of their training leading up to a fight is scouting. Right? Learning the tendencies of that opponent. At your level, how much of that are you doing where you're preparing for the tendencies of a specific opponent? Or is it just, I'm working on what I do, and when I get in there, I'll feel her out and then I'll take care of business?
It depends. So I always, especially now, because it was obviously different. For example, when my father was competing, they didn't have YouTube, they didn't have social media, they didn't have access to most of their opponents. But now everybody does. They have tons of footage of me at the Pan Am Games, at the World Championships from last year. They have tons of footage of me at so many tournaments. So we all can go watch each other's previous fights or whatever. So I definitely do. I'll do a fight study. So I'll block out some time where I watch one fight, and I will strategically go through the pros, the cons, the strengths, the weaknesses, the tendencies, what keeps showing up despite who this person fights. They always have one particular go-to. Sure. And then based on that, I decide, okay, based on my style, this is the best way to respond to that. So this is the game plan. And then obviously if something else comes up during the fight, we adjust as rounds go on.
Was there ever any part of the game plan going into this past weekend that you did have to adjust? Was there any big adjustment or like surprises, you know, going through it? Or was it pretty much like, nope, I'm keyed in and, you know, it was just straight up business and go for a Heineken afterwards or whatever. You know what I mean? Like how focused, or was there any straying off the line? You were like, oh shit, this girl brought something just a little bit different to the table, you know?
No, because I think that especially after the pandemic, there's a lot of newcomers that are still building their repertoire within Canada. So a lot of the competition within Canada is, not to take away the credit from my opponents, because they all were fantastic athletes. They all came and brought fire. They all came to fight. They all came to win, and they all did excellent performances. I just think that because I've been on the international stage for 2 years, I've had the privilege of going in the ring with other fighters who have been on the international stage for, let's say, 5 years or more. So the level of experience that I'm now comfortable going in the ring with is just very different. Whereas the girls right now in Canada, since it's only been 2-3 years that they've been kind of gaining experience, it's not the same. It's not the same level. It's just different. They still have a lot of experience to still catch up to. They still have a lot of things to learn, which I mean, some of them, the girl that I fought in the finals, I fought her in February, and she has improved dramatically because her father's her coach, and he takes her across the border to the States all the time. So she's getting the rounds. She's getting the experience. She definitely is a different fighter than the first time we fought. But like I said, you know, it just.
But you still fucked her up.
No. I'm on the international stage, which is different. It's just different.
What do you mean taking her across the border and getting her the rounds?
She's from Windsor. Amount?
Okay.
She's from Windsor, so she can go over to Detroit. She can go over to the States, and they just have a lot of fighters out there, so that she can get just that better experience. Yeah,
more reps.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's something I want to ask you, which is, you know, anyone who has never met you in person and sees you on this show, they go, oh my gosh, this pretty young girl who just giggles and laughs at their stupid jokes. And she's so sweet and so lovely. And you're all of those things.
Thanks.
But when you get in the ring, you are this laser focused animal. And I have never had the opportunity yet to see you fight live. The closest I've come is watching you train a little bit, right? In person, and just like doing some bag work and doing whatever. And the look on your face, it's like, I want to say hi, but it's like, no, don't fuck with her right now. Like she's it's in like the zone.
It's a zone. Yeah.
Like don't bother her right now. So can you explain to the audience, especially those that have never been in a boxing ring, right? Or maybe someone who's, you know, a lower level athlete that's learning how to, you know, get their game face together. What goes through your mind? What gets you in that headspace when it's time to walk out to the ring? Is it just, you know, is it like when you lace up, put on the boots? Is it when you start to tape up? Where does the transformation happen for you mentally?
So it's a ritual that begins months in advance with training. So my coach, Gaytan, he's my performance coach. Him and I have worked strategically over the years to build the preparation going into competition. So we firmly follow the rule, preparation breeds confidence. So when I am getting ready to go in the ring, we turn on and we turn off. Because just as important it is for your mental preparation, sorry, for your physical preparation, it's just as important for your mental preparation. So if I'm activated and turned on for the whole day and I'm fighting in the evening, now I'm so mentally drained, I'm tired, and I'm not going to be as activated and charged as in if I just preserved that mental energy for the entire day. So I stay off until it's time to warm up. And my warm up is like my stretching and then shadow boxing. And then we get ready to walk into the ring. So I start to turn on in my warm up, just like when I'm training every day, no matter what, I always do a 30-minute warm up before I start my actual training session. So I start the ritual as I do every day. So my body's familiar with it. My body knows, like, okay, now I'm going into activation mode. Now I'm going into performance mode, because that's what I do every day. As I start with my stretching, I start with my static stretching, my dynamic stretching, functional movement, and then we go into whatever we're doing for that day. So that's when it starts for me, is the warm up. And then going into the actual ring, it's that preparation breeds confidence. So is there anything else I could have done leading up to this point? No. Is there anything I could have done that's going to change what I'm going to do today? No. How I feel right now, does that even matter? Is it going to affect whether or not I'm stepping into the ring? No. I've got me. Yes. And I go in.
Has there ever been, because obviously it hasn't been that way since day one. It couldn't possibly be that way since day one, right? So this is something that has been worked on over a period of time.
Yeah.
What's the next level of it then? You know what I mean? Because it sounds like you're just keying in right before the fight. Everything up to that is just straight up preparation, and it's all just right before the fight. Is it going to come a time where it's when I first enter the ring now, or when the referee hits that first bell, or you know what I mean? How close to fight are you willing to like just be chill? You know what I mean? Because everybody seems, you have to get into this, like into a mode to be able to let somebody punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, like could you be sitting in the back, all taped up, ready to go, and like chatting with your girl on the phone, like, girl, what's going on?
No, right. No. I dial right. out like a day before the competition.
Okay.
I like,
okay.
Yeah, no, I completely exclude myself from all that kind of activity. But no, like I said, my warm up is when I start to activate. And then once I'm stepping into the ring, it's a complete, I'm zoned in. By the time I start walking to the ring, I'm already zoned in. I'm right away, like, I know what my game plan is. I know what we're working on. I know what game plan A is. I know what our game plan B is, and I know what our C is. So those are the only three responsibilities I have stepping into that ring with that person. And then, like I said, once I come back to the corner after the first round, then we make adjustments if necessary, but I'm going in there with a very clear mind. I don't care who she is. She could be coming off of 9 wins all way by way of knockout. It doesn't matter because she's never been in the ring with me.
Woo!
So But this is the truth. It's reality. It's not about even tearing down somebody else. Is I have so much faith and confidence in my training. I have faith and confidence in my coaches. Like, I know that I'm coming out there to win. And if she has even the slightest bit of doubt, I will 100,000,000% always have that extra edge that I will pull out exactly what we're there to do. And that's not even necessarily to always win or to lose. Like, the results don't matter. I'm there just to do my job, and the results will follow that.
I gotta tell you, mental sports talk, it's like talking dirty to me. I love this shit. Now, I wanted to ask you a question about qualifying for the Olympics, and you and I DM'd a little bit about this, and we went back and forth. But before we get to that, I have to ask you something that's way more important. Like, what is going on with your mani? I have not seen a female boxer with such pretty nails. What
Are
the
they
fuck,
so
girl?
Nice. Look at that. Look at
you
that.
Are so girly.
So are you.
Hey, Scarlett appreciates that I notice these things, right?
Yeah, I do. Oh my God. Like,
wow. Wow, I'm expecting, I'm fully expecting. Listen, full disclosure for those of you that are listening into the radio world and you can't see this, go over to the video portion of it and take a look at it. You'll get to see the nails. You'll get to see where Scarlett is doing the show from, clearly in her vehicle. And if you wait about 30 seconds, you'll get to see Donnie jump from the back seat because he's got the stalker vibe and he's going to like strangle her to death and put him in his own trunk.
Stalker? I'm appreciating the work she puts into her aesthetic.
Scarlett,
do you know how many... Listen, do you know how many female athletes I have coached or worked with that put no effort into their aesthetic? They just take the attitude of, I'm a jock. I don't give a shit.
Just not for you.
No.
I love my feminine energy. I love my feminine
Good for you.
Energy.
I think that's great. I think that's great.
And I'm not knocking the girls who want to be more.
No, of course
sporty.
Not.
Sporty. That's great. Good for them. All the power to them. But me, I really love my feminine energy.
Right. And boxing of all sports has very masculine energy to it. Yes. Right. So yes. It's not commonplace. I mean, you know, and you're very proud. Like, you post glamour shots online, yeah. And you love looking all dolled up in addition to, like, you know, putting on the gloves and beating the shit out of somebody. But like, you have that duality, which always, I said this to you before, but like, when you decide you're done with boxing after you go get that gold medal at the Olympics and whatever else, when you're done with boxing, it's like the world's your oyster. You could walk in and do anything. You're smart. You have a look, you have all that together. You're set for life, kid. Now, explain to me this qualifying process for the Olympics, because I thought before, and I'm stupid, so I thought before that if you won at this past weekend, I thought that's it. You're in for the Olympics. So now you still have another qualifier.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a little bit of a misspoken about this past tournament. I had a lot of people asking me because they titled it Olympic Trials. Now, it was driving me nuts because it's not Olympic Trials. Nobody gets a golden ticket to the Olympics after the tournament. Nobody even gets to be on the Canadian Olympic team.
Oh my
what
God.
What it is, well, because so this is the thing. It's just constructing the national team that are in the weight classes that are in the Olympics. So now that we have our Canadian national team for the Olympic year, now we're going to go to a tournament, which is the world qualifiers, the world championships. We're going to go to that tournament, and you can qualify for the Olympics if you make top four. Now, some weight classes is top two. Mine is top four. So for the weight classes that are top two or top four, once you qualify, then you are on the Canadian Olympic team. As of right now, nobody except for Tam Thibault and Wyatt Sanford, nobody on the Canadian team otherwise is on the Canadian Olympic team. We are right now just on the Canadian team.
She's a three-time Canadian. Can we just put her on the damn team already? Come on. Okay, so now for these Olympic qualifiers, you were explaining to me, like, okay, there's 1,000 countries now that are trying to qualify. So how many countries, like, are actually going to get in for, like, your weight class in boxing? Like, what kind of competition are you facing now in order to get in?
So in Europe, they already took, to my understanding, so like I said, some weight classes is top four, some weight classes is top two. So okay. For Europe, every weight class, they took their top four or their top two. And then they already had their Asian continental, same thing. They took their top four, their top two. They had the Pan American Games where they took the top four or top two. So now there's going to be two more qualifying events. And this upcoming one is going to be one of them where they take in my weight class top four. And then there's one more if for those who don't qualify this event, and they'll take, that's going to be in Thailand, and they'll take top four or top two. So, for example, you've got, let's just use my weight class for an example. In Europe, there's four countries going to the Olympics already. In South America, there's two countries going to the Olympics already in my weight class. In Asia, I believe it was four. So there's four countries already. Africa, I think it was four. So now in this one, there's going to be an additional four countries per weight class, some two. And then the next one, it'll probably be just an additional two countries. So you still have like a pretty stacked Olympic run. But
this
obviously,
seems crazy because some of these countries, they've already figured out that they're going. So like these athletes are mentally now focusing on the Olympics. Yeah. And you're going to be qualifying right up until the day before the opening ceremonies. Like, what the hell, man? Yeah, we got to get our shit crazy. Together.
Yeah.
That's how a Rocky moment happens.
Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you this then. Who's the Ivan Drago? Who's the Ivan Drago of your weight class out there in the world that you want to see in the Olympics at the finals? If you could pick, like,
the monster of your weight class?
Yeah. If you could pick the monster of your weight class, right? Because it's not just somebody out of nowhere, because you girls have been doing this for long enough, right? So in the perfect story, in the Marvel story or whatever it is of Scarlett Delgado, who does she go in there against and beat? And don't give me the, it doesn't matter who, blah, blah, blah. There's somebody.
Well, really, it doesn't matter. But the reason why, so if I'm going to pick somebody, there's a few girls that honestly, just from an athletic standpoint. So there's one girl, the girl who won the world championships in my weight class last year. She's from China and she is very tall and she is very long. It's just a very difficult body type to get in because she's so tall for the weight class. So that's just something that I've always had to work on how to get in on really tall people. So that's just like a personal challenge for me that I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd really want that. Like just
okay,
to try
but
that.
Scarlett, your wingspan is 7'3". Like Scarlett has the longest arms.
Thank you. No, this Chinese girl, she's got longer. She's my head taller than me. And she's like just super thin and she's just like spaghetti, like just super long. Okay, you know what? Actually, no, there is one girl. There is one girl who is definitely like a challenging one. That would be Steny Mira. She's from Bulgaria.
She's not scary.
She's not scary. She's just, she's very good. She's very good. She's not super tall, but she's also very long, very thin, very long. She's very snappy. She's very poppy. And she's just a difficult style to deal with. She's Orthodox as well, but she's somebody definitely I would love to get in the ring competitively with her. And at the same time, she lost to a girl from Turkey who's similar style, but she's southpaw. So that's another girl. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of hard because styles can make a fight.
Mm. How's her manicure?
Oh no, I got the best manicure.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, I got the best manicure. Right
I thought so. Gold medal for the mani.
Hey, you can't be catty without the claws, right?
Scarlett, I know you got shit to do tonight. So let me ask you something before we let you fly. Tid, we had a special graphic we wanted to throw up, right?
Hold on. Before we even get to that stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Before we get to that, I do have a couple of serious questions.
Oh, serious.
The first one being, obviously you follow boxing. I want to get your thoughts on Amanda Serrano vacating her belt over rules, different rules for men than there are for women. They tried to say, I don't know if you followed or you heard this or not, but they tried to say that, you know, the women's rounds in professional boxing aren't as long and they're not as right. She says they should be. What say you?
I mean, like, for me, I personally don't care. Like in the amateurs, it's the same. It's 3 minutes, three rounds, same as the men. It's the same. So, I mean, to her credit, it is the same in amateurs. So it shouldn't really be a big deal to make it the same in professional boxing. And at the same time, like, is it something that I would vacate my belts for? Probably not. I think that, you know, that's a very extreme step. And I mean, to make drastic changes, you have to make drastic moves, to her credit, to her credit. But at the same time, I think you have to also pick and choose your battles and how you navigate things. I think that sometimes there's better ways to do that without having to, let's say, sacrifice your reputation. This is the first time I'm hearing that. Like I said, I wouldn't vacate my belts. I'd say, like, you know, like, why don't we put some more money on it? Like, why don't we get me a fight with whoever else wants to do 3 3-minute rounds? And, like, let's, like, I would try to negotiate a fight like that.
Interesting. And my second question, before we go to the other thing, is last time you were here, there was supposed to be a dating show.
That's true. We were going to play the Scarlett Delgado dating game. I was going to get to that. Thank you, Tid. Is this we had bachelors lined up for you, by the way, Scarlett.
Do you?
We did.
Yeah, they're since married.
I don't know if they have children now.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
That's how long it's been.
One of them married a boxer from Bulgaria, apparently.
With a lousy manicure.
I love coming on the show.
So, before Tid even gets to his follow up with the Scarlett Delgado dating game, at the time you were talking about how training and the life makes it very difficult for a lovely young lady to have a personal life and a dating life. Are you still single or no?
Oh yeah, I'm single AF.
Okay.
I'm single AF.
So once we get through the next round of qualifiers, we're going to have to get this Scarlett Delgado dating game going.
You know what? Like, I mean, I say it all the time. My dad hates the conversation. I say to him all the time, I want to get married. I want to have kids.
Yeah. We're going to make that happen for you.
First.
Yeah. Not till after the Olympics, apparently.
Yeah. Everything is after the Olympics. I mean, I have such a small window. It's less than a year away. It's next August. So.
Yeah. Just be careful when you get to France, because I've known over the years a few Olympic athletes and they've all told me the same thing. The Olympics is partially about competing, but it's mostly about athletes hooking up in the village.
Yes.
But that's a competition in itself, Donnie.
Yeah. They're all competing for gold.
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody needs to compete for that other stuff. There is no competition with that.
Yeah. Nobody wants to look down and see a set of nails that look like their own. Okay. So you got to have that nail game on point. So maybe she's just got this game figured out already.
I remember years ago, this is going back, I don't even know now, 7 or 8 years ago or whatever it was, like the Olympics, two Olympics ago, right? Olympics. Whatever it was, maybe three Olympics ago.
The Brazil Games or the London Games?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was London. And I was talking to somebody who was over there and he was a reporter and he says to me, have you heard of Tinder? And I'm like, no, what's Tinder? And he's like, all the athletes in the village are on Tinder and they're all hooking up every single night. That's all they do. There are countries whose gold medal hopes are going up in flames because this guy is all pumped out.
Well, this is the stuff that was going on even at the Pan Am Games. In our welcome bags, they gave us 6 condoms in every welcome bag because they know. They know this is happening. They know. So,
how many did you leave with, Scarlett?
I left with all of them.
You're a lady.
Of course or I'm a lady. Unprotected. I have shit to do. I have things to do.
Or maybe you just raw dogged. I don't know. Like,
I'm a lady. Okay.
She keeps that shit clean.
Though. I wouldn't be surprised if some athletes do because.
Absolutely.
We have to get HIV tests. A lot of the, the boxers, because obviously blood contact, right? So we have to get HIV tests anyways. Obviously that doesn't exclude the other stuff that floats around, but I wouldn't be surprised if some athletes with lack of knowledge think, I did an HIV test. I'm good.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Greg Louganis was raw dogging at the Olympics. Okay.
Jesus.
Probably. Well. Maybe he wasn't given the condoms. Or maybe he ran out.
Maybe they didn't have
them. Yeah. Poor Greg Louganis. Okay. So now, before we let Scarlett go, because she's got things to do,
it is that gimmick.
All right, Scarlett. Best Christmas gift you ever got. Don't think about it. Just whatever jumps to your head. Best Christmas gift you ever got.
The best Christmas gift I ever got was an art set. Was an art set from that's a lie. No, the best Christmas gift I ever got was from my coach Gaytan. He got me this beautiful he gets me all these beautiful things from like Sage and gift cards from Nature's Emporium, everything that I can get that's like super expensive to support my health. Like, he gets me all that nice stuff, so he got me like a package of that stuff.
It may not have been a Christmas gift, but if we expanded this to being best gift ever, what about that beautiful framed shadow box I got you?
Was that for Christmas?
No, it wasn't, but it was around Christmas time. Wow. It was the week of Christmas.
Christmas gift.
It was the week of Christmas. It was the week of Christmas.
And shame on you, Scarlett, for not seeing the obvious sign that Donnie's throwing out there where he's like, hey, please put me over.
No, that was actually
shit.
Scarlett was she did a little bit of advertising for the art gallery that my mom runs.
It was beautiful.
So so we did this really cool ad campaign where they were doing a sale on shadow boxes, right? Shadow box frames that they would custom build for your collectibles or whatever. So I took a picture of Scarlett, you know, looking all tough with her gloves on. It's like, shadow box? No, shadow box. And then they showed like the actual thing, right?
It was really cool.
And they sold a ton of shadow boxes. And I said, look, Scarlett, as payment for being the spokesmodel, how about we get you this beautiful frame piece? We'll hang a pair of your gloves inside and a photo of you. And I think there was a, I can't remember what other photo was in there, but there was a, it was a really nice built piece. It was really beautiful.
I have it at my gym. We have it there in display.
Yeah.
No, it's, Donnie knows. Because there's a camera in it, too. I don't know if you know what or not.
Shut up, dude. Okay, worst Christmas present you ever got, Scarlett.
The worst Christmas present I ever got.
Name names.
names? Okay, so once upon a time, my dad, I think he confused my sisters and my present because I was maybe 7 and he gave me a pair of jeans that were clearly for like a 15-year-old. But I was 7.
Oh,
they were like the size, like I can fit my whole body in one leg.
You'll grow into it.
Yeah, but now it's like, oh, it's fine. Exactly that. Like, you'll grow into it. That was probably like the worst one. I was like, what am I gonna do with these?
Ted, best Christmas present you ever got. Wait, no, I want to see the graphic one more time. Best Christmas present you ever got, Tid?
A negative test.
Wow.
No, it wasn't.
Were you in the Olympic Village?
Wow.
There you go.
Worst Christmas present you ever got, Tid?
The worst Christmas present I ever got? I don't know. I mean, no, not really. They've all been pretty stellar. I think one year I got a scooter when I was a kid, and I had a busted ankle. So I couldn't use it at all.
Does that make the gift bad though?
Yeah, because I had this. Listen, I came from a household where I got told to go back to bed because Santa forgot to put the stockings out. So
Santa had a little too much eggnog. It wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. There was the curtain was pulled back at a very, very young age.
And y'all can hear that on the next episode of Tid Talk. no, one more time. I want to see the graphic one more time.
All right. Yeah. Because Donnie.
My best Christmas present I think I ever got was, and it's just the first thing that pops in my mind. I remember being a kid and I wanted so bad the Star Wars Millennium Falcon. I had been asking for it for months and months and months. And it was so fucking expensive. And my dad would look at me like, are you out of your goddamn mind? Like, there's not a chance in hell. And then I'm looking under the Christmas tree and I'm looking for a box that's big enough to be the Millennium Falcon. Nothing. I'm going through presents on Christmas Eve because, you know, Portuguese, we open on Christmas Eve. And I'm opening and opening. I got socks and underwear. And I'm like, the fuck? I want my fucking Millennium Falcon. And then they bring out the big box. And I'm like, and that was it. And it was the Millennium Falcon, and I lost my goddamn mind.
Moving out.
What?
Nice. I was going to say it was a suitcase, and you were moving out.
It's right there.
I had one of those times. One time, I had an ex girlfriend. One time, years and years and years ago, before my current wife, she got me. So I get this box. It's this gigantic, heavy box, and I take the wrapping paper off, and I'm.
That was also her stripper name. Heavy box. True.
And I'm lifting this thing up and it's a stereo. So she got me a stereo for my new place. Right. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like home stereo system. Right. Back when those existed. Yeah. Now it's a Bluetooth speaker and off you go. Right. So I'm like, fuck, this is great. Cool. Thanks. I start ripping open to this box and I open it up and it's got three logs in it. And I'm like, that's really fucking hilarious. Like logs of wood. Or inside of this
in a stereo box.
In a stereo box. Like, funny joke, right?
She hated you.
And then there was an envelope in there. And so I grabbed the envelope and I open up the envelope and it's two tickets to Vegas.
Oh.
Wow. Oh. Look at that.
So it was like bad gift, good gift all at the same time. And even better gift because we ain't together anymore.
Without naming the girlfriend, which house were you living at the time?
Oh, no, not even. This was like when I first
moved to Canada.
Yeah. Like year eight of me living in Canada.
This is what I refer to as the before time, before I knew you.
Correct.
The before time.
I sometimes forget you had a life in the before time.
This is called BC, before Chris.
Yes. So my worst Christmas gift I ever had when I was younger. My dad's side of the family is massive, okay, in and around the greater Toronto area, massive. Like, my dad comes from a family of eight siblings, right? So massive, and they all had kids and whatever. So we used to all get together on Christmas Eve, and that was the regular thing. And after a while, it got crazy with so many kids. So it's like, instead of everybody getting gifts, because it was insane, we did the Kris Kringle thing. So you pull someone's name out of a hat, and you'd buy a present for that one kid. So one year, my dad's youngest brother, Manny, love you, Uncle Manny. He got me in the Kris Kringle, and I'm nine. And all the other kids are opening their presents. They've got Transformers, and they've got Hot Wheels and BB guns, and they've got, like, cool shit. And I open mine, and it's a $25 gift certificate to the movies.
Oh!
I'm nine!
Oh!
First of all, when I was 9, there weren't movies I was really aching to go see. And if I did, guess what? My mom paid for them because I'm 9. I don't need a gift certificate to go to the movies, Manny.
It's because you weren't allowed to go out by yourself.
I was 9.
These kids nowadays would do it.
Yeah, I know. And when you were 9 growing up in Vegas, you had like 3 girls pregnant. I know. But I was 9.
They didn't have movie theaters. We still painted with blood of the animals on the inside of the cave walls.
Right. You would have gone to the casino and traded in your gift certificate for chips.
No. Everybody knows the smart gambling for underage people in Las Vegas is to hit up the 7-Elevens and places like that where they just have the slot machines, where you can just basically then anyways, you could just boop, win, take your bucket of quarters and bounce.
Bucket of quarters.
Oh, I never think those convenience store slot machines are going to pay out ever. I think they're all bullshit.
They used to.
All slot machines
are bullshit.
Scarlett Delgado, you've been awesome hanging out with us. We know you have shit to do tonight. If anyone out there wants to follow your journey, see what you're up to, contribute on your Olympic path financially, whatever, where can they go and find more information?
Definitely. Instagram is probably my best platform. I have a link there, an URL that shows my GoFundMe. It shows my website and it shows articles of like all my background history. So, anybody can message me. I'm pretty responsive on Instagram as well. So I'm very
except Canadian when she's really training for a fight, then fuck it. Like, yeah, well, you're not getting a response.
I announced that I'm signing off. So my Instagram is my first and last name, Scarlett, Scarlett Delgado, Delgado. That's it. Very simple, very easy to find me.
One day, I know it's a very common last name, but one day I want to do a detailed family tree and see if Carlos Delgado, the former Toronto Blue Jay, is like a definitely far distant relative.
He is Dominican. My father comes from Ecuador. Definitely not related.
If you go far enough back,
yeah, maybe we have like a common cousin or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I will tell you a funny story one day about the time when I was working at a Toronto sports radio station and I got to spend a day with Carlos Delgado to see what his life was like. And he wanted to go shopping in Yorkville with his black card. And he never looked at the price of anything. And it was I felt so poor.
Yeah, of course. Oh my God. I can't go shopping with my green card that says TD Bank on it.
Go shopping with a bus card.
All right. Thank you so much, Scarlett. It's been lots of fun. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a good time with you guys.
I'm only doing this because Tidwell hates it.
Absolutely hate it. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Good night, Scarlett.
Have a good night.
There she goes, everybody. One of the best female boxers on the planet, Scarlett Delgado. She will be at the Olympics, Ted. I've said it before. I'll say it again. She will be there.
Absolutely. She will. No doubt about it. Yeah. Just a matter of time.
I think you just got muted or something. Moment, I stopped hearing you. Ted's mic fucked up. I don't hear you.
He thinks his mic is working, but it's not. I can't hear him. Neither can any of you. But he keeps babbling. He thinks it's us. He thinks it's me. Now he kicks me out of the room, and he thinks it's me. Can you hear Ted? I can't. He keeps saying, it must be you. Fix your headphones. It's not me, stupid. Here I am. Messing with all the controls, very confused. Trying to figure out why I can't hear this caveman. He's still talking. He still thinks he's doing the show. And I have no idea.
Can you hear me right now? I can't hear you at all.
At all.
This is stupid.
So stupid.
I don't know what just happened.
It's Ted's fault.
You look like you're doing sign language to me. That's all I see. You're just signing, and I don't speak ASL. You know what? Let's just end this shit, okay?
Good idea.
All right. Thank you. I will go ahead, because I'm just fucking reading lips at this point. That cackling bastard is Notorious D.I.D. Chris Tidwell, who I cannot hear. I don't know what just happened. I'm Donnie DeSilva. Special thanks to Scarlett Delgado for hanging out with us, and thanks to all of you for taking the time. Make sure you tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell anyone to come check out the Godfathers of Podcasting. We'll see you next time.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
This mic sucks.